Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to welcome you tonight to our second in a series that I started last week on Colossians. Thank you for being here. This will be the second part in a series that I'm not sure how long it'll take me to get through it all. It's not a very big book. In fact, I was talking to someone today and they had started listening to that. Once again, if you have the YouVersion of the Bible, you can go to Colossians and you can push play at the bottom and you can listen through the whole thing. And because you can listen to it relatively quick, since it's a short book, I had it timed. 13 and a half minutes out of your day is all it will take for you to listen to the whole book of Colossians. And I just thought that would be something that might encourage somebody, because you're like, I just have problems reading. 13 and a half minutes to get through the whole book. And here's the thing that's really cool. As we start studying verse by verse through this, what will be really neat is if you'll start listening to it, what will happen is you'll watch that word come alive for you as you're listening to it. Because you've been studying it verse by verse, and then it comes alive. I want to encourage you, if you miss any of this, listen to it on podcast. There'll be some listening to it tonight on podcast that weren't able to be here. And I want to encourage you, stay up on it, because you don't want to miss any part of it. Now, tonight, let's start with just a quick review of last week. I want you to keep in mind, Paul writing this letter from prison, he had not even been to the church at Colossae. Some of them, scholars will call it Colossae. Some will call it Colossae. Depends on who you're reading or hearing from. But he hadn't even been to Colossae. He'd heard about it from Epaphras, and he was wanting to encourage them based on what Epaphras had told Paul about the church. The church that he's writing to is about 5 years old, been meeting in the house. And Epaphras was the overseer of the church. He wasn't there at the time the letter was written. He was with Paul. In fact, he didn't even deliver the letter. He had the letter delivered to the church, and he wanted to encourage them. Here's what you need to know. The heresy that was threatening the church in the town is very similar to the heresy that's threatening every church in the United States of America. And so it's a very important letter that we understand, because they were being threatened by Eastern philosophy and Jewish legalism. Let me just break that real quick down. Modern cultural view and legalism of Christianity. Now, there's still that very prevalent thought in the church that if you don't follow the letter of the law, you're going to die and go to hell. If you mess up one area, you're going to lose your salvation. You're not going to. Here's what you've got to know. That is not a new thought. That has been going on for a long time. And we're addressing right now that problem from Paul's writing. He is teaching us how we've got to look at this. Gnosticism is the word when you join Eastern philosophy and Jewish legalism together. The message of this letter, to get a full understanding of the message of the gospel. That's the whole point of Colossians. For you to get a complete understanding that Jesus is not just one of many good choices, he is the only choice. Jesus is it. Now, when I say Jesus is the only choice, that's a good place for amen. That's right. Jesus is the only choice. See, he's not one of a lot of good ones. He is the only one. And what we believe determines what we will do in our life. You've got to believe in something before you go do it. I don't get on roller coasters because I don't believe I can get off of them the same way I entered them. I don't believe in them. Now, some people believe in them. They think they're going to be better off when they get off, and those are the people that get on them. I'm not one of them. See, you got to believe in what you're doing before you go do it, or you're not going to believe. You got to believe in Christianity before you're going to walk a Christian walk. You just got to believe it. It's not just a good idea. It's got to be a part of who you are. All right, let's get started. Chapter 1, verse 1. And yes, this is the second part, and we didn't even get to this last week. So here we go. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. Now, once again, Paul had never been. Let's just stop there. And he makes it clear right from the start as he's writing them. Paul says, I am an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's saying that I have been sent to do the will of God, and it is by his will that I'm writing you this. I'm not just giving you another man-made doctrine here, Paul's telling him. I'm telling you that I have been sent by God to do his will. Now, they can believe that or not, but that's what he's saying to him. So this is not another good idea in this letter I'm bringing to you. It's a God idea. There is a lot of things that sound like good ideas in this world. But you need to always be able to measure that and know if it's just a good idea or is this a God idea. And when it's a God idea, you can stand on it. And so Paul's just setting this up with them. Let's just use another verse to validate what he's saying. John 15, verse 16 says, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Anything that is good in us, we are not what we have made of ourselves, we are what God has made of us. All the good in us is because of God. And we've got to give credit in the right place. And Paul's saying, I don't have any good ideas, I have a God idea. And so you need to know I'm only writing you based on what God has laid on the heart of man to express. And I think this would be good for you. Here's the problem. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but in Christian counseling, we have a lot of people counseling what they say is Christian counseling, and it's always just an idea from the counselor, or it's an idea from the Word. We've got to make sure that we clarify the difference. So if you're ever talking to me about something, you've probably heard me say this. This is not thus saith the Lord. You need to know that. What I'm telling you is this is Ashley talking right now. Because I think I have some wisdom in certain areas that I think God has given me, but I don't have that as a backup from the Word. But when I go to the Word and say, now this isn't thus saith Ashley, this is what God says in his Word. And you need to know that there is a difference. Sometimes man has counsel and they act like it's God counsel and it's just a good idea. So I can just spend a lot of time on there, but I want to make sure we get that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Coloss who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God, our Father, give you grace and peace. 2 points here in verse 2. Just a verse-by-verse study. First point is he's addressing this to the people in the church. I'm writing to God's holy people. He's writing it to God's holy people. Tonight, you're in church, and my prayer is I am speaking and ministering to God's holy people. See, so this is to us. I'm writing this to God's holy people. That's what Paul's saying. God's holy people who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me just tell you, to be here on Wednesday night, especially when the forecast had said there was going to be ice tonight, you are faithful. This letter's for us. But here's the second part of that, because there's 2 points here. It also says God's holy people in the city of Coloss. Now, why is this so significant? And I just love when you're reading scripture. It's probably a whole lot more than I'm given than I can even give. But as God has laid different things on my heart, I read this and I'm go, wow. See, I'm God's holy people because of Christ. You are too. But we're not in Coloss. So this isn't for me. No, we are God's holy people in, and then you fill in the blank. I'm going to say at the end of Riley Drive because we're not in the township here. Somewhere between Hurley and Clever. That's where I do life. Now, what you might do is put your address in there. You are God's holy people in Nixa. God's holy people in Clever. I'm God's holy people in the community that you live in. And it's important that you know that because, see, as you're living in this world, yes, you are in Christ, but you have been placed in a particular area in your life, and that area is significant. I'm writing this to the people who are in Coloss, and you need to understand, as I'm writing this to the people in Coloss, it's important that you understand this has to affect the area you live in. Boy, isn't that good? What area do you live in? I'm God's holy people in Marionville. I'm God's holy people in Billings. I'm God's holy people. One of the things I love about Christian ministry is we don't represent just one township. I'm God's holy people in Crane. I'm God's holy people in, and you fill in the blank where you are. The question is, as you're hearing Paul write this, he is addressing people where they are and saying it's significant that you know where you are and that you're making an impact where you are. We're in a culture where it doesn't matter where you live and you can still work. You can still go somewhere, you can be a part of, and you can live in a neighborhood and nobody knows you. In the country, you can live and nobody knows you. You've heard people talk about people who live somewhere, and yeah, I've never met them, but and they're their next door neighbor. Next door neighbor, and I don't have a clue who they are. It's important that you are God's holy people to the people that are your next door neighbor. Just a lot with this verse. We have people who act like they don't even live here. Don't act like you don't live here, wherever you're here is. You are God's holy people in Christ in Southwest Missouri. Success is based on how you are looked at in Christ, how you are looked at as in your relationship with Jesus. What do people see in you? Well, I don't care what they see in me. They need to see Jesus in you. We're representing, we're representing Jesus. How are you looked at in your community? It's important how you're looked at. Verse 2, may God our Father give you grace and peace. We'll go on here. May grace and peace be given to you from God. Does grace and peace come from anywhere else? Somehow we tend to start thinking that if my spouse would just act like this, I'd have peace. If my family would just do this, I'd have peace. If my kids would just get in line with what I'm trying to teach, I'd have peace. Let me just tell you, you are going to be frustrated your whole life if you're trying to get peace out of people. Grace, may God, our Father, give you peace. That's what I'm praying that Christian people would start living by. We're offended, we're frustrated, we're not having peace, we're not living in the grace that God gave us. People are looking down their nose. Yeah, I messed up, but get your eyes off me. Just come on, give me some grace here. Grace comes from God. Now, does that mean people should do that? Yep, but they can only give you grace through God because God's the giver of grace. So we got to get that corrected. And verse 2 starts right out with that. See, it doesn't matter if your tires are all aired up or if they're all flat. Flat tires should not produce no peace in your life. And we are walking around not having peace based on circumstances when right off the bat, Paul said, may God our Father give you grace and peace. Why did they need it? Because they were dealing with Jewish legalism. I mean, they were dealing with the same things we're dealing with today. Eastern philosophies coming in. The way our government is starting to think is so not biblical. You just turn on the news. And now we've got two different parties. Look at what the party lineup is and see which one is pointing mostly to the Bible. I mean, you can just start looking at what's going on in our country. Well, what's happening is Eastern philosophies coming in. And then what's the Eastern philosophy saying about us? All you guys are is legalistic. We can't do it. And so we've got this thing going on that's the same thing they were dealing with, and it's good that we know we're not ever going to get grace and peace from a society without Jesus. We're only going to get grace and peace from God. Living in Christ allows us to live in a world with grace and peace when we look at the world and oftentimes there's no grace and peace. Man, my job, there's just no grace and peace here. All I can tell you is you're not going to get it from your job. You're going to have to get it from God. You don't get anything else out of this study. The whole book starts out telling us that. And it's important that we know it. Totally independent from what your day throws at you can only happen when you get your grace and peace from God. Otherwise, you are bent up and out of shape. Man, what are you so bent up for? There's just no peace in my life. Okay, you're trying to get it from your life and it comes from God. So we just got to live like that. Chapter 1, verse 3. Before I start this, verses 3 through 8 is what I'm going to read right now. And I want to give you just a quick way to think as I'm reading this. Because you're going to find periods, you're going to find little numbers in here. But as this was written in the Greek, it was one sentence. Verse 3 through 8, one sentence here. Here we go. We always pray for you, Paul says, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he's helping us on your behalf. He's told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. All right, a lot of stuff here. Six times in the letter of Colossians, the word thankfulness or gratefulness is used. It's just a real theme throughout the book. And he's writing the church, and Paul is writing this from prison. Why is that significant? You know, it's one thing to be grateful when everything's going good. It's just one thing to be grateful when everything's going, man, it's going good. But it's another thing to be in prison and writing a letter to a church telling them you ought to be thankful. You ought to be grateful. I mean, I don't know if you ever just put that all together, but as you read this letter, you got to know he's in prison. And he's saying, hey, guys, be grateful and be thankful. And they're out in freedom, and he's saying, here's what you got to do. And I just bet when they read it, they were going, this guy's in prison telling us to be grateful and thankful. Wonder if he needs to hear that himself. Well, if they, as they read the whole letter, they see that he is. He's exactly what he's asking them to be. You know, our days would turn around if we'd walk in some gratefulness and thankfulness to the Lord, not based on our circumstances, but based on what he is preparing for us. We come in and sing all his promises are yes and amen. But are we walking and believing that, and are we thanking him for them? Well, no, we haven't got them yet. Well, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. See, maybe we just lose sight of the forgiveness of our sins that was already paid for us. Well, I didn't deserve that. Let's not talk about what you deserved. No, but it's just, we shouldn't even go there. The penalty for sin that we all owe, that Jesus paid for us. Now, I know life has some ups and downs, but come on, we got reason to be grateful and thankful. We've got some reason. Epaphras was converted in Ephesus, and he takes the thrilling news of the gospel to Colossae. And I love the excitement that Epaphras would have had to have walked in into a town that was needing some good news. And what he said was, listen, let me tell you what Jesus is doing. Let me tell you who he is and what he's made available. And Paul's writing him saying, we pray for you. We give thanks for you. I'm so grateful for you. We've heard of your, and here's why. Because of your faith in Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And you've had this expectation since you first heard the truth of the good news. I love that he said this. He said, faith in Jesus and your love for God's people. Let's just talk about that. Faith in Jesus and your love for God's people. Faith in Jesus and your love for God's people. I was just reminded yesterday morning as I was spending some time in prayer, it just overwhelmed me that God loves me so much. And if you start getting the love he has for me when I am the jerk I can be and he loves me, it helps me to look over the things that other people have been jerks in and love them. I am impressed, Paul says, by your faith in Jesus and your love for people. Faith and works. Faith and works. Come on, sometimes it's work to love somebody. Oh, I just want to skip this part because every one of us don't want to hear about it. Our faith in Jesus and our love for God's people. Faith with works. Faith without faith, you can't love people. But without love for people, you're not going to have the fullness of the good news. See, the good news comes from faith and love of people. As much as it may sound very inviting to go to a desert island and never have to talk to another person in your whole life, that's not God's plan. Faith and loving people. Faith and loving people. The truth of the good news. It's just tragic that so many think the gospel is bad news. You say, well, really? Yeah. Many Christians look at the gospel like a prosecuting attorney is looking at them. I'm getting ready to defeat you with the word. That's not God's heart. He loves you. Yeah. And as you start understanding Colossians, then we start understanding that we've got to do what he did. He didn't come in accusing us. He told us we could be free. At some point, the church has got to quit accusing people and loving them and telling them you can be free. That's not to not tell them about sin. It's you can be an overcomer. That doesn't have to rule your life. I got a phone call from a pastor this week. And as I have been studying and excited about teaching on this tonight, I was like, wow, this came at the perfect time. He said, I've got a little problem and I wanted some advice from another pastor who's probably faced something similar. He said, on Sunday, I'd been asking someone to come to church from my work. And so in this conversation, I said, you need to be there. And I knew that they were involved in a homosexual lifestyle. So they came with their girlfriend. This lady came with her girlfriend. And so they came to the church. And he said, so I got them here. Now what do I do? I said, I don't know. No, I'd been reading Colossians. And I said, you first introduce them to Jesus the best that you can, because they're not going to understand Jesus. But here's what you got to know. If they don't feel your love, they're not going to listen to you talk about Jesus. I said, how'd the congregation receive them? He said, they all loved them. I said, there's a good chance he'll be back next week. But here's what happens, because we've been in similar situations. Can you believe so? You know what's going on in their life? I said, yeah, and they may not be saved. Can we love them right now? See, we get this thing out of order, but it takes both. You got to love people so that you can tell them about the faith they can have in Jesus. Now, he said, what if it continues? And I said, at some point, you're going to have to address it. He said, well, here's what I've been thinking. I've just been thinking at some point, I'm going to tell them I'll be teaching on what the Bible says about homosexuality. And I don't want you to get frustrated and if you've got any questions about it right now, but I can't back off of what the Bible says. But I said, you don't start with that. You need to start with some love for them. But you don't ever bow away from the sin but I can't teach on that. Well, the word says it. And see, that's where you got to have some dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And I said, I don't have all the answers, but when we got off the phone, I said, I'll agree with you to pray that they'll be back. He said, everything you said is exactly what I've been thinking. And I said, that's because we're both reading and getting our information from the same book. Where Christians get into arguing is when they quit going to Jesus first. So we've got to go to Jesus. If you go to Jesus, what'd he do? He loved people. Those of you without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. He had every reason to throw a stone, but he didn't. He loved. And so I think it's real important that we see that in Colossians. There's four sections here, and I want to jump into these and we'll see where we get with them. But four sections here that Paul points out in the same passage, in this same sentence. First one is, they heard the good news of the gospel. The second is, they believed in Jesus. The third, they were discipled. And the fourth one, they became faithful followers. Now, let's start with the first one. Verses 5, 6, and 7, they heard the good news. We as a church have our faith in Jesus, not a philosophical idea. Say that again. We have our faith in Jesus, not high-sounding nonsense. We have our faith in Jesus. There are thousands of religions worldwide. I started trying, how many religions are there? There are thousands of religions worldwide, thousands. But there are only four, get this is kind of cool. There are only four religions based on a person, not an idea. Only four. Only one of the four are based on an empty tomb. Why do you serve Jesus and not Muhammad? Why do you serve Jesus and not, why do you believe in this religion and not one of the other thousands? Because there's only four based on a person, and there's only one based on an empty tomb. And that's just a real quick avenue to give me the security of what I believe. We're much different than any other religion of the world. This is not a philosophy. It's about the person, Jesus. And you got to know that. See, the good news is about what Jesus did on our behalf that we couldn't do. It's the good news. And I'm not going to go back and teach salvation. I'm just here to tell you the good news is salvation. It's that you don't get thrown into hell. And you deserve it. And I deserve it. I'm not just saying we deserve it. The word of truth, verse 5, said the truth of the good news. The word of truth. Truth, church, know this, always outlasts a lie. Hearing the truth makes a change. You've either got to deny it, you got to walk away from it, or you got to embrace it. But when you hear the truth, you got to know that's true. Verse 6, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. The word, the message of God's grace, it is undeserved favor. Grace, undeserved favor. The word is the message of God's grace. That's why we're thankful. Problems are here, but I've received grace. See, the message is for the whole world. The good news is for everyone, not just men, not just women, not just Jew, not just Gentile, not just black, not just white, not just Democrat, not just Republican, not just poor, not just what. It's for everyone. That's the cool thing. The word is the message of God's grace that we are in need of. Here's the second point. They believed in Jesus. Verses 4 through 6. It's possible. It's possible for you to hear the good news, not just have to see it. Very important point here. It's possible for you to hear it. Hear it. It comes in auditorily. See, the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just to change your lives from the day you first heard it. And then it says, and understood it. Very, very cool here. The word understood or believed in some of your translations, the Greek word that was used here, very, really cool. It means to lean your whole weight on. It means to totally give into. It's everything. It's to believe with everything that you are. Now, verse 6, it's changed your lives from the day you first heard and leaned your whole weight upon, or that you believed with all that you are. It's the good news that you believe. See, here's the thing. You're not going to believe more later than you do at the beginning. You're going to learn more about what you believed at the beginning. Let me say that again. We're trying to get people to believe more in Jesus later. The belief that you started out with is all of your weight's got to be on at the beginning. And then you learn more about it the further you go. But it's from the beginning that the first time you heard it and you leaned your whole weight in it. Here's what happens. Young people, I've seen it happen. It happened with my own daughter. My oldest, she came to us countless times. Dad, Mom, I just don't know if I'm saved. I just don't know. What if I die? I just don't know. And wait a minute here. The first time that you said, the first time that you heard it, hearing it doesn't change a person. Putting your whole weight on it changes a person. When they put your whole weight, and I said, do you believe it with all you are? Yes. then you can't get any more belief than that. When you put your whole weight on it, you believe with all that you are. Well, but I just don't understand it all. And you'll work the rest of your life trying to understand more and more. But it's from the first point you heard. So when you're having trouble with that with your kids, take them to Colossians, right here in the first chapter. Have you heard the good news of Jesus? Yep. Do you believe with everything you are? Yep. Then there's no need to doubt. No need to doubt. You can just live on that and you can just know that's the way it is. See, the word learned is the same word in the Greek. Let me back up. Many believers hear the word, but they don't put their whole weight on it. Do you get that point? They hear it, but they don't put their whole weight upon it. That's what starts producing a lot of doubt in people. You can't just hear it. You got to put yourself into it. And there are so many things in life that people put their weight into that is not the word of God. Come on, as Christian people, who he is important, and they're going to lean all their weight on a paycheck or on a job or on a friendship. I'm putting all of it right, or in a bet. I'm putting everything I got right here. Everything I am is right. Let me just tell you, if you hear of Jesus and then you put your weight into it, you believe it with everything you are, that's when changes can start occurring. So if you're doubting and all you've done is heard about it, and yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I guess I'll be saved. That's not what I'm looking for. See, God says you put your whole weight there. Everything that you are. You hear, well, how do I do that? Because it's in a person of Jesus. Now it's a lot easier to start as a young child sometimes than it is to convince an older person who's really smarter than they think they are. Here's the third point. They were discipled. Verse 7, you learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant. He's helping us on your behalf. He's told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. He learned in verse 7. You learned about the good news. You learned about it. That word learned in the Greek is become a disciple. Become a student of. See, it's not just that I heard about it. The word there is not hearing. It's not even putting weight on. It's after those things have happened in verse 7, it's now I'm becoming a disciple of. That means now I'm going to learn more and more about it. And so that's the next part after salvation, becoming a disciple. Let me give you some neat statistics here. The word disciple occurs 260 times in the Gospels and Acts alone. 260 times the word disciple. It means learning by living. Learning by living. A total surrender of one's life. See, you learned it from Epaphras. It comes from, this is really big, you got to get this in this study. It comes from a human source. You heard it, you learned it. You believed it, your responsibility, but you heard it from a human source. You were discipled by a human source. It's really, really a bit. It was a human that delivered that to you. It was Epaphras. He delivered it. You learned it from him. It came from a human source. And church, it did then and it does now. Why do I need to go to church? Because you need to be discipled. Why do I need to be in Sunday school? Or why do I need to be in, you're a young person may be asking, do I have to go? Nope, but you get to. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to be discipled. You a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Why are you a Christian? Because I heard and I put my weight on Jesus. And because I've done that, now I'm going to learn it from a human source. That would be a Sunday school teacher. That could be someone teaching a class. That could be a pastor. It could be from someone over lunch. See, if you don't tell people how they go to the next level in Christianity, then how's it going to happen from them? How are they going to know? It's got to come from a human source. Well, I'm tired of everybody telling me how to live. You can't ever say that. Every day I need somebody telling me how to live. I need to be listening to something else that's going to feed into me how to be the disciple that I can tell others about. God, please speak to and allow me to come to more knowledge of you. God, please speak to me. How's he going to do that? Through a human source. I just love this. Well, just go read your Bible and you'll learn everything you need to know. Through a human source. Well, the humans wrote that, yeah, and God inspired them, and I get all that. And you need to be in your Bible, but you need a human source feeding into you. Why? Because that's what Epaphras had. God, please speak to me. God, how's this going to happen? How's it going to happen? How are these people going to learn? I'm praying for them just to learn more. They're going to get that. God's saying they're going to get it, and you're going to be the one giving it to them. Parents, this is a large responsibility. How's your kids going to know? Because you're going to give it to them. Sometimes you're going to give it to them in a way that they'll never forget it. Sometimes you're going to give it into them in a way that they won't ever forget it. And not because it was discipline, but because it was the word of God that made a difference in their life. See, in the Old Testament, God didn't live in and reside in people, so he had to reveal himself through many things, a cloud, a donkey, a stick, a bush that was burning, a star. But now the gospel is transmitted through somebody. Billy Graham was awesome. He was one person. And we often talk about how many thousands he led to Jesus, but somebody led Billy Graham to Jesus. See, you got to take the responsibility of the gospel serious. And as you read Colossians, you start realizing that it's transmitted through people. The gospel is humanly transmitted. I'm not taking anything away from the Holy Spirit and the power that he has in the lives of God's people. But the way the gospel is transmitted is through people. It's a large responsibility that we have to know. Well, how does he do that? Through our vocal cords. It's important. The fourth one and the last one, they became faithful followers. Verse 6, how do you know that? They're bearing fruit. There's faithfulness to the things of God that you can see in someone's life. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, and it's bearing fruit everywhere. How do you know that? Because it's changing lives. I am telling you, I am a different person than I was 25 or 30 years ago. That means I have arrived. No, I will be a different person in 20 years later than I am right now. And my wife's looking forward to that in some areas. See, that we are continually growing more and more, and we are continually wanting to be. How do we know we're getting there? Because you start bearing fruit. And I know that as I'm a mouthpiece and I'm a continual witness for the things of God, that other people's lives will change by being in a relationship with me. Not because I'm pastor, but because I'm a Christian. And that's got to be our heart. The word of God is like seed. And it's to be something you're planting wherever you're at. I love what we do here by having just a little coffee shop out in the foyer. It's not about a coffee shop. It's about sitting around and talking and visiting and hanging out and having an opportunity just to visit. Why is that important? Because relationships are formed. And the more that happens, then you watch seeds start forming in those relationships. I'm grateful that we have a leaders academy. There may be years that we don't have any students, but there'll be other years that we do. And we might revamp how it looks. There'll be different things that happen over the years. I don't have all this figured out. All I do know is this. Forever, Tyler and Veronica's lives have been changed because of a relationship that was set up by God just allowing people to meet people. There'll be times that they hate us because of that. But hopefully and prayerfully, most of the time, they'll be grateful. The word of God is like seed, and if we plant places for human interaction, then you'll watch that seed, because it's our responsibility, you'll watch that be planted. See, when you come on Sunday and Wednesday, it's like you're a farmer sowing seed. When you walk and when you go back out and do life, you're going to throw some seed. And you're believing that that seed as I'm throwing is going to be harvested. There's preaching series. There's messages that you hear. That can be seed that you get that you go out and give. I just loved that after last Wednesday night, I had two or three people come up about this study at Colossians, and they're so excited about it. Can I tell so-and-so? Can we put this online? Can we? Yes, I love verse-by-verse studies, and I realize it's been a while since I had done one. And so I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, I want to dive in here. The excitement, what they were really getting excited about, and they may not know it, is they were going to get some seed. We got to get excited about the Word of God because it's a seed. And if we get that seed in us, then it ought to go out into the world. And as it goes out into the world, it bears fruit. How does it bear fruit? Because it's changing people's lives. Let Colossians change your life. Verse 5, hope is a characteristic of the believer. No matter what you go through, a non-believer will give up. But when a believer goes through something, you got to stir the hope up that's inside of you. And it's really important that that hope gets stirred up and excited. See, you can go around and you can do something bad or good. Regardless of what that is, there's a consequence. And you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. What you're going to do is you're going to put your hope in Jesus, that regardless of what you had messed up or whatever, my faith and trust is in him. And whatever happens, I'm going to have a great outcome because of Jesus. Yeah, I messed that up, but I got saved. See, many people think that since we are Christians, that we should be free from messing up, or that we should be free from having to deal with problems. Since we got saved, I'd just be free from all of these things that others have to go through. The difference in us is, even though we live in a fallen world and bad things happen and a cow falls down and hurts its leg, whatever it is, I've not got my hope in a cow. I've got my hope in Jesus. And so when I'm going through this, I am seen as different because I'm a follower of Jesus and my hope is in him, not in the return on a cow. I don't like cows getting hurt. It's frustrating. It's not that I don't go through things, it's not that you don't go through things, but my hope isn't in a cow. See, my hope is in Jesus, and hope has to be a characteristic of the believer. There should never be a time that there is no hope. I would hate to live life like I'm unsaved and try to say I'm saved. If I'm going to live saved, then I'm going to have hope. There is hope that only comes from the word of truth. This is one sentence, but a lot of hope here. And I hope that you have gained something by one sentence out of the first chapter of Colossians. And I hope that as you leave tonight, that there was seed planted in your heart that will cultivate and will harvest in your relationships, first in your home with you and your spouse, with your kids, but relationships all over, because we are going to be the mouthpiece. Did we get that? It's the gospel is transmitted by human sources, and that's our words. Y'all stand with me tonight.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.